Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter on Church at Home. Church at Home is dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. This is number 8 in the series on the Kingdom of God, and we have seen how that on this earth there is a struggle between Satan the devil and his angels, who are demons, and God's angels and the righteous ones who are led by Gabriel and Michael. Now, there's another element to the kingdom of God which is greater than both of them, which is the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ, who will be king over all the earth. And then we will see how it is that true Christians will become part of that kingdom. So let's begin by going to Isaiah, the 9th chapter. And in Isaiah 9, we're going to see there is a prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ, who the New Testament shows to be God manifested in the flesh, that he was to be born, as we have seen in other prophecies, of a virgin, who in the New Testament is called the Virgin Mary. Now, here is a prophecy of Christ, which is quite in detail. Now, what you have to do, you have to put together the prophecies of Daniel, the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and the minor prophets, prophecies of the New Testament, and you get a full picture of the true extent and nature of the kingdom of God. Because you see, the real truth is that it is going to be Jesus Christ and the resurrected saints who are going to save this world from Satan the devil. No man can save. No religion can save. No nation can save. But only Jesus Christ and the resurrected saints. Now, when we understand that and we put all the scriptures together and we realize that in order to become a part of this kingdom, that is the whole story of true Christianity. And how many times have you heard that when you go to church? Now, part of the problem that we have in the world today is this. Since the Gospel of Matthew talks about the kingdom of God as the kingdom of heaven, and then the rest of the New Testament talks about the kingdom of God. Well, clever men, to set up their own religion and justify what they do, have said that the kingdom of heaven is where the souls go when you die, and the kingdom of God is the religion centered in Rome, which is the kingdom on this earth. So if you belong to that church, you belong to or are part of the kingdom of God. And ever since the first prophecy of the coming Messiah, who would also be king and replace Satan the devil, the world has looked for who is going to be the savior of the world. And there have been many false claims about it. And many people even today really don't want to believe the Bible. But let's look in Isaiah 9 and see the prophecy of Jesus Christ, and where it talks about his office as king. And he's going to take over the throne of his father or forefather or ancestor by physical lineage, David. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And that's what it is, the government. Now, let's ask the question individually. Who rules in your life, God or Satan? It's all about government. Are you under the power of Satan the devil or God? Whom do you serve? Now, we'll see what it talks about with Christ. That's why he came in the flesh, as we saw earlier, to overcome Satan the devil and disqualify him as ruler and God of this world. So Jesus Christ, when he returns, will become ruler and God of this earth. Let's read on. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All the names of God. Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Yes, when Christ comes and the kingdom of God is on the earth and the saints rule with him for 1,000 years, then all of those who enter into the kingdom of God through the time of the 1,000 years will become the children of Jesus Christ and the church. Whereas today, those who are called to be in the true church of God and receive the Spirit of God are called the children of the Father. So Jesus will not become a father until he returns and rules on this earth with the saints. Then those who are converted and enter into the kingdom of God at that time will be the children of Christ and the church. Verse 7, notice this, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Men cannot bring peace. Governments cannot bring peace, because it takes the character of God to be the true king of the world. Now, we're going to have a false Messiah come. We're going to have a false prophet come. And the world is going to follow them, be deceived in it. Will you? Let's read on. And over his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with righteousness from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord will do this. So God is going to accomplish what he's going to accomplish. Now, let's come to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Let's see what Jesus preached, what he taught. He knew who he was. He knew how he came to be. He knew who the Father was. The Father taught him every day as he was growing up, and he talks about how the Father taught me, and the Father commanded me, and I speak his words, and these things I do. So here it is. The whole gospel is wrapped around the kingdom of God. And let's see what Jesus preached. Mark 1 and verse 14. Now, after the imprisonment of John, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God. Gospel means good news. The good news of the kingdom of God, which then is the government of God. Notice what he says, verse 15, and saying, the time has been fulfilled, the kingdom of God is near at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So that's the first start. Right there. The kingdom of God is near at hand, inasmuch as that Jesus was there. It has not yet come to the earth, because Jesus will bring it with him when he returns. But notice the requirement. Repent. That's how you start getting out from beneath the kingdom of Satan, the devil. And repentance means repent of your sins, and sin is the transgression of the laws and commandments of God. Then you have to believe the gospel. Now, the gospel is the full account of the New Testament, the new covenant, the life of Jesus Christ, the teachings of the apostles, and the grace and love of God, and how it applies in our lives. Now, we will also see a little later that when Jesus was standing before Pilate, and he asked him, were you born to be a king? He says, for this cause came I into the world, and for this reason I was born. But he said, my kingdom is not of this world. Because if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. Now, we need to keep that in mind as we go through and understand about the kingdom of God. But if you have a concordance or if you have a Bible on a computer, I want you to look up every place where it talks about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven from Genesis to Revelation. And I think you'll be absolutely surprised, as a matter of fact, maybe even overwhelmed a little bit. That's the whole reason for the Bible, the kingdom of God. Now, let's come over here to Luke 4 and see when Jesus was preaching. That's what he was preaching. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Everywhere he went, it was the kingdom of God. All of the parables, it was, and now the kingdom of God is likened to this, and the kingdom of God is likened to that. And he gave many, many parables showing about the kingdom of God and how then we are to enter into it and how then we are to inherit it. Now notice, after casting out many demons and healing many people, people wanted him to stay longer, and he said, no, I can't. Then he said to them, it is necessary for me to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God to other cities, for this is the reason I have been sent. The very reason was to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now let's talk about the gospel of the kingdom of God here for just a minute. We will see there are two parts to it. Let's come back to Acts, the 20th chapter. The gospel of the kingdom of God, we will see, the first part is the rule and government of God in your individual life, and the coming kingdom of God to rule the world and to rescue all nations. Now, we will see in the first part, the kingdom of God in our lives, that repentance and belief and baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit of God through Jesus Christ is how we are rescued from the kingdom of this world under Satan the devil. All right, let's pick it up here. Acts 20 and verse 24. And Paul was explaining to them about the journey that he was taking going to Jerusalem, and how that the Holy Spirit said it was going to be a time, very difficult time for him because of the circumstances of how it was in Jerusalem. But he said, verse 24, but I myself do not take any of these things into account, nor do I hold my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to fully testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's one part of the preaching of the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom of God, the good news of the kingdom of God. And the gospel of grace is then how we individually receive salvation so we can prepare to enter into the kingdom of God by the resurrection when Jesus Christ returns. Now let's continue on. Verse 25, and now behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. They proclaim the kingdom of God, which is the rule of God, the coming government of God. He also did it to the Jews. Now, very interesting, let's go back here to Acts, the 28th chapter, and let's just do a little bit more background concerning the truth of preaching the gospel, and let's understand something that's very important to realize when Paul got there and was in prison. When he got there, he sent out to all the Jewish leaders and said, I'd like you to come and visit me, because he was under house arrest. He wasn't, though he wasn't chained, he wasn't in a dungeon someplace. And he was able to preach to them. And when they came, they said, now we've heard of this sect, and it's everywhere spoken against, but we don't know anything about it ourselves. Now let's just ask a question in passing. A little sidebar here. If Peter was the apostle to Rome, why did the Jews not know anything about it? Since he was not an apostle to the Gentiles, but to the Jews. Now that's a conundrum to think of, because the truth is, when you really search it out, Peter was never in Rome. So think about all the claims that are made about Peter by that church that is in Rome. Verse 23, Acts 28. Let's notice what he preached. And when they appointed a day for him to speak, many came into his lodging to hear him, and he expounded to them from morning until evening, fully testifying of the kingdom of God and persuading them of the things concerning Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. It's preached from Genesis to Revelation, the kingdom of God. Now, let's talk about how we today, individually, can come into a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ so that we can prepare to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, we've covered some of these things before. But here's the first thing you need to do, as Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. And that through the grace of God, you have your sins forgiven, as the Apostle Paul was talking about. Then you need to be baptized into a covenant baptismal death to enter into the new covenant. Now, when you do that and receive the Spirit of God, then you enter into a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, and you are no longer under the government of Satan and this world, spiritually speaking. Now, we are to live in the world, but not become part of the world, because we are to follow Jesus Christ and God the Father, and we are to live by every word of God. Now, that's how we begin. Now, let's see how Paul described this when he wrote to the Colossians, because you see, as we'll see in a little bit, the call of God goes out. Many are called and few are chosen because few repent and because few really believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the apostles continued preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, just as we saw there with the Apostle Paul preaching to them in Rome. Now, let's see what he writes here. Let's see how, then, with the individual calling, repentance, baptism, receiving the Holy Spirit of God, walking in the love of God and the grace of God, how this rescues us from Satan the devil. We still have to fight against him because we live in this world. All right, Colossians 1 and verse 10. He says that you may walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. See, just like the Apostle Peter wrote, we are to grow in grace, we are to grow in knowledge, and we are being prepared to be kings and priests under Christ to rule this world. Now, you can't have a higher calling than that. Eternal life, to rule with Christ, to solve the problems of this world through the kingdom of God, of which you will inherit. Well, that's something. Isn't that far better than belonging to a religion? Isn't that better than your soul goes to heaven? You become part of that kingdom. Now notice, while we're still in the flesh, we need to continue overcoming. Verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory unto all endurance and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has made us qualified for the share of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now, we have a glorious inheritance, as we will see. And that is part of the kingdom of God. And we're going to see who will enter into it, and how you will enter into it. We'll cover that next time. But notice, first of all, what has to be done? Verse 13, who has personally rescued us from the power of darkness, which is the power of Satan, the devil. That's what Paul preached, to turn them from the power of darkness unto the light of God. That's what the gospel is all about. And God has to personally rescue us from that power of darkness and has transferred us. That means now we are under the jurisdiction and the laws and commandments of God through the grace of God, by the Spirit of God, therefore, through Jesus Christ in us, we now are yielded to the kingdom of God. And that's what rules in our life. That's why Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So when you answer the call of God by repentance and by baptism and enter into covenant with him through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, then you're rescued from Satan the devil. As we will see next time, that we still have to fight against Satan the devil. We still have to resist him. We still have to have the faith, because Satan not only has warred against the kingdom of God and was thrust down to this earth, but he still comes after the saints to persecute them. And the times ahead do not look very good. But how do you want to approach those times in the future? Knowing God or not knowing God? Having the Spirit of God or not having the Spirit of God? Answering the call of God so you can look forward to the kingdom of God and be raised from the dead as a spirit being in power and in glory and rule and reign with Christ when he returns. Now notice, in whom we have redemption through his own blood, even the remission of sins. So that is the grace of God of the kingdom of God. Now please download Who and What is a True Christian. Now we also have online on cbcg.org, we have All About Water Baptism. And you can email us and we'll send you the book on it. What does baptism mean? What is the calling of God? Why are we immersed completely in water? Why sprinkling cannot be a baptism? Why infant baptism cannot be valid? All of those things have to do with it. What is the covenant that we enter into through baptism? And why is baptism absolutely necessary for salvation? Now, much of this knowledge has been lost because too many of those in the Christianity of this world want to have a simple gospel, a simple repentance, a simple way of coming to God. But as we have seen, that isn't working. So you need the truth of God. You need the Word of God. You need to understand where we are and where we're going. That's why church at home. Because all of these things you can begin right in the privacy of your own home. And so every time you watch Church at Home, I want you to have your Bible there. I want you to go through it. I want you to understand what the Word of God is. This is not a matter of personality. This is not a matter of numbers. This is a matter of truth and the gospel of God and how you can come to have a personal relationship with God. And then later, when you have accomplished many of these basic things, then you will realize there are many more believers around, though we're few in number compared to the whole world. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So this is Fred Coulter saying, be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. So until next time, so long, everyone.